So married and you have a gaggle of kids, right?
Yeah. My wife and I have 5 kids. One's about to hit teenage years all the way down to 1 year old.
Nice. That's awesome.
Very cool. I've got 4, so I'm catching up behind you.
You can win that race.
You're listening to That Church Podcast with Justin Dean and Van Baird. We help digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. Learn more about our conference, regional workshops, and online training and resources at thatcc.com.
Welcome into That Church Podcast. For all of you listening on the audio side, either on iTunes or all the various places you can find the podcast. And then welcome in to all of our pro members that are watching this on the video recording. And welcome to all of our new audience on our Facebook Live group that we're streaming live right now into our Facebook group for pro members on Facebook. Hey, Justin, how you doing, man?
We are so innovative. I mean, look at this. We are live in multiple places, like using technology at its fullest. We're so cool.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So, we've had access via Zoom to be able to go live on Facebook. But before today, we were only able to go live to the page, and we really hadn't come up with any content that we wanted to do that with, because we're doing this from our desktops too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so today we found out we could broadcast directly to the group. So our pro members are getting access to this as we're doing it, and they'll be able to jump in with Q&A as well. So this will be kind of cool. But this is nice to break up the monotony. We've been cranking out podcasts like machines, and this is kind of nice to do something a little different.
Yeah, I like this. I like being able to bring our pro members in, because I think what we'll do at the end of this is open up Q&A to them. If people join and have questions, that probably won't make it into the podcast. Maybe we'll put on the video later, but very cool that you guys can participate with us and be a part of the interview in that way.
Yeah. So welcome to all of you guys. For people that are just listening on the podcast, you can certainly become a pro member. Just go to thatcc.com and sign up today. But I'm kind of excited because we keep meeting people through ThatCC that we haven't met before that are doing some really cool things at local churches around the country. Today's no exception. He is exceptional because we're going to talk about something we haven't talked about before. And his beard is ridiculous.
It's pretty epic.
So he's laughing.
It's yours to shame.
Yeah, it's like I don't.
Mine for sure.
But. Yeah, it's like I don't even have one. The fact that we can grow this way, the fact that we can find people, because all we're trying to do is equip digital communicators to tell the best story the church has to tell. And because we get to grow this way, we find those pockets of people that are doing really cool things in churches. And I'm going to try hard not to say Wonder Maid all throughout the interview, because that's his Twitter handle and his Instagram and Facebook and all that. But Nathan Clark is at Northland Church down in Florida. Nathan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for doing this. I think we tried this once before, and there's a little snafu, so I appreciate you making time for us.
Yeah, of course. Here we are now, so all is good.
Now, most people probably recognize you from the incredible TED Talk about marshmallows.
Yes.
Loving marshmallows.
Loving marshmallows. They have a lot in common with each other. maybe me, actually. But
how did that come about? How were you able to do a TED Talk on that?
You know, it was just the funniest thing. I kind of have a rule that when someone invites you into their world to speak about eternal things, that you should always take them up on the opportunity. And so, one conference led to another conference. I work full time at Northland Church. My wife and I also own this marshmallow and ice cream company. So somebody asked me to speak about it, and I was like, well, gosh, if somebody wants me to talk in general, I should really talk about love. That's kind of why we're here. So I got to kick off the TEDx Fargo to a room of 2,000 people and tell them what it's like to live by love and giving yourself away instead of just looking to get whatever you can. You know, sort of a call to something bigger and a call to certainly what Jesus called us to do.
That's so cool. We'll definitely link to that in the show notes as well, so people can check that out. And you've been at Northland for 13 years now?
Yep, 13 years today.
That's great. Today
yeah, actually, you can send me anniversary gifts if you would like. I think 13 is solid gold bars.
I'll have to look that up, but I'm not sure that that's too accurate.
Yeah, could be paper.
Yeah, it's probably paper. We'll go with paper.
All right.
So, well, we mentioned it earlier before we introduced you that you've got one of the cooler titles in the church world. Tell everybody about that and how that came about.
Yeah. So, I get this great split title. I've got multiple jobs. The certainly coolest title that I have is the Director of Digital Innovations, which really means that whenever we have practical ministry needs, I get to try to use technology to find a better solution. And then I also wear a hat of being the online minister, which I have done for about a decade now here at Northland.
And that's fitting the innovation title, I think, too, because you guys really pioneered online church in a way. You were one of the first churches to stream to the iPhone. You were telling us a little bit about that before the show. You share how you got started with that and how long ago that was.
Yeah, well, you know, it was about a decade ago that we, longer actually, that we started streaming at all. At first, it was really a bit of an arduous process, but you could, in fact, stream the video. And that was great because there were so many people that are infirm that are unable physically to get to a church. And then over time, we realized there's also a lot of people that are emotionally or spiritually limited and not quite sure where to start. And so we just continued to find additional ways to draw people into church as they envisioned it. Mm-hmm. For your average person is probably show up on a Sunday morning somewhere. And then as new technical platforms came along, you know, set-top boxes, iPhones, things like that, we would just figure out how to bend technology to our will and just make it work. And being the person who has the chief pastoral responsibility gave me a lot of motivation to figure out how we can deliver on that.
That's so cool. I love that. And I think you guys are thriving now with a few thousand people watching online. And
yeah.
Obviously every other church in the world is still trying to figure out how to do that well. So I think that that's great that you guys are innovating in that way. And you're trying new ways to say, hey, how can we use technology to reach more people and not be limited by it? So that's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Apparently, if you want the title of innovation pastor, you need a really good beard.
Yeah.
Because we have
an epic beard, that's for sure.
Alec Todd is the innovation pastor for E91 Church. We had him on earlier, and same thing. I think he just cut his beard, though.
Yeah, but you know, like Neil Smith, his title is like innovation. It's not that.
Yeah.
He's like smooth all over, so I don't know.
All over?
I don't know about all over. But in all the right places.
Let's change the subject. Hey, so, and this will be an interesting discussion, and I'll let you guys go back and forth on this because you've lived in this space obviously way more than I have. But Nathan, you talked about the way that y'all have grown locally in your area, and you said there was a little bit of semantics behind what you describe it as, whether it's micro churches, and you've got another name for it. But talk a little bit about the number of, I'm going to call them micro churches.
That's right.
Y'all have, and then what you guys have to be careful what you call them based on different things. But I don't think we've had this discussion before, so I'm really interested in hearing about the way y'all are growing in that area.
Yeah, well, so we call them distributed churches. Our proper name is Northland Church Distributed, which is for us just a container to mean that we're not complete on our own and that God calls us to himself to disperse us widely. You know, it's the Great Commission, go out. But some people call them micro churches. Some people call them house churches. Some people call them cell churches. Some people call them, I don't know.
Is it like a small group?
Well, you know, the
community group.
It is. It's a little like a small group. But here's the thing. What you call something really matters. You know, for anyone who gets married, they know that something substantive happens to their relationship when they say "I do" and they are pronounced, you know, man and wife. The huge shift. The day earlier, you didn't love them less, that other person. But suddenly being married instead of dating confers a significance of responsibility and opportunity that wasn't there right beforehand. What we have found is when people are just called a small group, it's a similar, they think their job is to refer out anytime something really big and problematic comes along to a real church. Hmm. But when you call that collection of people a church and they assume that mantle, they suddenly realize that they have the responsibility to meet the needs, to perform the sacraments, to depend and serve in their communities and to love each other without looking for who they're going to outsource the real work of ministry to.
That's really incredible. That's awesome. I think that makes a ton of sense. You know, the analytical part of me is going, well, wait, that can get super, super messy because traditionally a small group leader is not trained. He's just some guy who's willing to open up his home to five or six people. And, you know, he may follow a curriculum book, but that's about it. So how do you equip these people to really be a micro church in their own homes, doing sacraments, you know, handling discipline, handling discipleship growth, all the stuff that comes along with the church? What's the process like to get that rolled out?
You know, there's a tendency we have to think what you're supposed to do is enforce orthodoxy, but I love that you said, how do you equip them? Because I think that's actually the million-dollar question. And again, I'm going to use marriage as an illustration because I think so many people get it. You know, there's not really a prerequisite for are you allowed and ready to get married. You don't have to take a test. Much like parenting, same deal. You know, baby's coming. What you need to do is get ready. Not, you know, you don't have the luxury of waiting. And when God calls you to follow him, pretty immediately on the heels of that, he's going to call you to engage with your community to follow him with you. And so what we try to figure out is, like with marriage, who are some people that are further down the road that can help you? You know, if you go to get married and your parents have a great marriage, you lean on them for counsel. Maybe you get some pre-marriage counseling, some marriage mentors. When you get married, you find couples that have been doing this that can hang out with you and speak into your marriage. And we do all those things with church. You know, who are people who have assumed that mantle, maybe a little bit down the road, that can help you through some of those struggles, through some of those challenges that you know, Justin, you were talking about. And we've just found that to be helpful in making it not just an initiative where we can start churches, but where this can be something where we maintain them.
Yeah. So is there an authority structure over these to where they can escalate if they need to, or somebody watching to make sure, hey, they're not sacrificing goats in this micro church, you know, because so it's all being done under the name of your church.
So far no goats.
I'm a PR guy, so you gotta. I'm gonna put holes in it.
Yeah, you know, we do, but the strongest relationship structure, oversight structure we found is just the constant presence of relationship. So it's not like a hub and spoke model where one person's in charge of the one leader and the one leader's in charge of their church.
Yeah.
It's more that there are, you know, it's like an extended family, really.
Got it.
That if you have this church that you've gathered, someone from another church is also connected with you and your church. And you guys are constantly sharing faces. And you know, the best time to address a problem is before it ever arises. And for that to happen, you just have to be engaged along the way. You know, those are the things that we have just found to be pretty helpful, because most people aren't, very rarely will you find someone who's going to say, I'm going to start a church so that I can sacrifice goats. They're going to get there over 100 small mistakes. Hopefully not at all. And if we catch it on the first or the second or third mistake, we can just help steer them back toward God, because, you know, that's who people want to follow, really.
Yeah. So you guys, how many of these micro churches do you guys have running right now?
We have about 70.
Okay.
Most local. We also, the other interesting thing we've learned is that the language we use to describe them actually can limit or encourage a number of people willing to participate. And so we're in this thing we just started now where we're encouraging people to gather in community to follow Jesus. And let's have Northland be a church of churches. And doing that, while we've got 70 distributed churches that responded to the call, hey, raise your hand if you think you want to be a church. We have thousands and thousands of people who responded to the call. Hey, raise your hand if you want to follow God with other people, and we'll give you materials and training along the way. That's great. We don't know what the number of groups is, and we'll figure that out. But it's so fascinating that less than 100 people said, "Yeah, I want to be a church," but many thousands said, "Yeah, I want to follow God in community."
So if someone shows up on a Sunday, they're hearing kind of that pitch to get involved in this, either to lead one or be a part of it, or just be in the community with others, and then
send
out to join a group.
It's a lot of it's self-organizing. Anytime you have a larger system, it has to be to sustain it. But the first time I walked in the doors at Northland as a congregant, 17 years ago, there's two things that I heard. I heard, thank you for bringing the church into this room, which, I kind of rocked back and went, wait, what? And then at the end, go be the church everywhere, every day. And so what's great for our congregation is that for decades, they've heard the same welcome and the same exhortation as they walked out, that their job is to be the church. And then, of course, we still do some programmatic things, but there's very much woven into our DNA this idea that the church isn't where you go on the weekend. What you do on the weekend is go to join with the people who are the church, and you need to be the church during the week as well.
Have you seen that kind of manifest itself throughout the community as well? Or are these people just meeting together, or are they actually involved in the community as well too? Like, is that a piece of it?
Yeah, it is. There's just, of course, so many stories and anecdotes of churches rising up to meet needs, sometimes profound needs. What's interesting is often it's when a need is manifest, that's when people go, we need the church to be the church. We're just a small group. Mm-hmm. It's interesting with some of the groups that realize that they are, in fact, what Jesus was envisioning. One of the things he was envisioning when he said, go out and be the church, that when those needs would arise, they would actually start by saying, well, how can we meet this need? And who do we need to invite in with us to help sustain meeting it? So whether that's, physical needs of neighbors or financial needs of friends or whatever it is, we've seen people step up in incredibly profound ways.
Wow, that's incredible, man. I love the whole concept. It's definitely, we haven't heard this before. I've never heard of this before. I mean, everyone's trying so hard to figure out how to do home groups and small groups and community groups and whatever else you want to call them. They'll do neighborhood congregations and things like that. It's all very similar. But this seems like a very biblical approach to the way that it's done. And I love just the emphasis of putting everything on the people to be the church, and to really just kind of the building on Sunday is really secondary to all that. So commend you for it. That's really cool. What is your role in that? So you're, innovations, media communications, like what is your role in that, in the microchurch kind of area of the ministry?
So my wife and I have a church. So we get to a big part of what I get to do is lead by example. Mm-hmm. And then also, anytime somebody asks you to do something that sounds a little bit different than what you thought it was supposed to be, most people run into this place where they feel like they might be doing it wrong. And they just want to make sure it's okay. And so a lot of congregants, even me, there are times when like, wait, is this count? Is this actually church? Is this actually okay that I'm doing this here? And so a lot of what we've tried to figure out how to do strategically is just how to constantly not just encourage, but give people permission that the Bible has already given them to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And it's just such a great honor, because you got all these people whose lives are being oriented towards God, who want to honor Jesus with everything they do. And we just get to craft communication, messaging platforms in order to make sure that those people aren't discouraged or deterred by whatever distractions, you know, the devil wants to throw at them, because there's going to be a whole lot anytime something like this happens.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Especially as it grows.
Yeah.
Hey, Nathan. So for y'all to have that kind of localized growth and, you know, the amount of little micro churches around, how heavy do y'all lean on digital? Because I see you've got, you know, 17,000 Facebook followers on your page, the main page. Twitter is actually pretty high compared to other churches. You got 6,000 followers there.
Yeah.
Instagram's coming along. What's y'all's thought process there as far as how dependent upon the digital channels is your church?
So we're dependent heavily for two things. The first is anytime you as a church, a safe place in people's lives, want to do something different, there are many people for whom that raises lots of red flags and concerns. And so one of the things that we can do is tell people, listen, we're not going to stop doing the thing that got you through the low points in your life. We're not going to stop gathering for worship. We're not going to stop doing these traditional churchy practices, which we can use social media really well to honestly and accurately communicate. The second thing we do is not in what I used to think of as the social channel, but we actually use email and email segmentation really heavily. That's really important because email is just an invitation into people's attention in a different way than a social stream is. Behaviors have mapped a little bit. So we've got tens of thousands of people that are connected to some degree to Northfund who have asked us to send them emails in some capacity.
Right.
And so part of what we've done is just paid attention to what people open, why they open as best as we can tell, and who mail segments they are. Whereas, you know, like Facebook and Instagram are really just a bucket. With the email, we can be much more intentional and nuanced in who we communicate how.
So refreshing to hear that approach. I mean, I took a couple of notes. I hit the heart on Facebook Live while you were talking a bunch of times.
I love it.
Which is cool. So yeah, this is very much like Blab now that we're able to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful that you're bringing this kind of a fresh approach and a new approach, because like, at least it is to us. I think the words around it, you know, blending the digital, blending, you know, the small group mentality to have more of an appreciation and for what you're doing when you meet together as a group, and that really is the church, is so refreshing in, you know, the digital environments that we live in to see it played out. So
I'm curious, and maybe as a last question, because I know we want to go to some Q&A with the people watching on Facebook Live, but I'm curious too, since you guys are so heavy on online church and we're one of the first to start that, how does this all translate to what you're doing online? Is there a call from there to say, hey, it's great that you're watching online, but you really need to get involved with people around you and be the church other than just watching on the computer? Or?
Yeah. Well, so let me tell you two things about our online experience. First, recently we actually started a pre-service show called Church Everywhere that is just for people initially, just for the people who worshiped online at Northland. So it's a 7 to 11 minute, uses various YouTube film clips to illustrate a similar message to what we're going to preach, but in a much more exhortative fashion. And we just want to remind you about who you are so that you can feel confident in following God today. We're actually going to start pushing that out more broadly in the weeks to come, because we've just found when people think they're doing something that's second best, they start to feel like they're second best. So creating content that is uniquely built and tailored for an online audience probably wouldn't look like a traditional worship service. So we built this alternate, more social media aware piece, which has actually, I think, been really helpful in giving people permission to follow Jesus the way he wants you to, and not necessarily the way that you saw growing up or something like that. The second is, we might be the only online church I know of whose job is often to get you to stop worshiping online. So if you connect with us, I really want you in community.
Yeah.
Anybody who I ever spend time with, you need to be in relationship with some other people. And online stuff is awesome, But God built you to come around and complement the gifts and skills he's put into other people that you don't have with the gifts and skills you have that they don't. And for that to really happen, and for you to see the potential God has put in you, and for you to see the purposes and plans he has for you, you need to be with people. And if you're worshiping online with us, those people might be in a church building somewhere else. They might be in our church building, but they might just be in your house, your family. They might be your coworkers. They might be any number of things. And my number one goal is to make sure the only spiritual connection you have is not just on a computer for an hour and a half on a weekend with us. So we're constantly trying to direct people into local expressions of faith, wherever they are. And if they need to form a church, we'll help you do that. If there's a church that they want to attend, we'll help them figure that out too.
That's great, Nathan. I mean, I just commend you for that. I think that's awesome. I mean, this is where we would do like finger snaps or something, because I love that whole theory behind it.
Hearts and stuff on Facebook.
Because, yeah, sorry. We're doing lots of hearts on Facebook Live right now, because that's the approach we should be taking to church online, in my opinion. And we talk about this a lot through our various channels and content. And so it's great. You know, God bless you guys for what you're doing. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Today to have this discussion. I know it's definitely going to be helpful for a lot of people. So, Van, do we have any Facebook Live?
Yeah, we've actually got three. So what we'll do is we'll say officially thanks to Nathan for joining us here on the podcast. For those of you that are listening on the audio version, what we get to do now is jump over into Facebook Live, have some Q&A, which we won't put on the podcast. So if you're not a pro member, be sure and check that out at thatcc.com. But otherwise, Nathan, thanks so much for sharing your expertise and what you know. And we hope to have you back on soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to That Church Podcast with Justin Dean and Van Baird. Visit us at thatcc.com for additional resources for church communicators.